You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to an exciting new episode of The Cooligans. It's Super Bowl week, you know? So
yes,
Alexis decided to go to London to enjoy the festivities. But welcome to the show. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco, and I am joined by someone who you don't necessarily see. You hear him every episode, but you don't see him. Miguelito himself, Michael. Mally, what's
up,
brother?
They know this voice. They don't know the face. That's the issue.
That's it. So, you know, it's been long overdue. We were like, bro, when you first joined the Cooligans, we were like, bro, you got to switch the look up. All right. We sent you over to Dr. Miami, and now, boom, you're good to go. You're looking good. You got the chin implant.
You can't see my BBL. I was going to say, I'm sitting down.
That's for the Patreon, bro. You can't just give it away for free, dog. An exciting episode today. So this week is going to be fun because we have two special guests. So we're, since Alexis is unavailable, Miguelito's helping with the intro today. But yes, we have two special guests this week. On today's episode, we're going to be joined by Patrick Vell. And if you are a person, especially on TikTok, and if you are a Latino on TikTok, you may have come across this new phenomenon, this trend that it's honestly something that is like it's hard to comprehend for us American-based Latinos, which is the British Latino, all right? So
yes.
People from Latin America that instead of emigrating to the United States, which was all like our brains, even when I met like Canadian Latinos, I'm like, what? How'd you get over there? You skipped the level. You got supposed to go
exactly
here first.
They missed the turn at Ellis Island. They just kept going north, bro. They went to the wrong spot.
Okay. They said, keep it going. We're not there yet. So this is – Patrick Vell is part of a trend that I think just reached our shores recently, which is there are so many British Latinos. They are Ecuadorian, El Salvadorian, Dominican, Puerto Rican, Colombian Latinos that are out in London – vibing with the mandem, right?
And you know, you guys told me when he was coming on, we're gonna have a British Latino, and I wasn't sure what to expect from the accent. When he rolled in the studio, it was everything I had hoped it for. It was everything I could have hoped it would be.
There's just something to, and it might just be our naivete, right? But yeah, it is definitely. When we hear Latinos, we know what they sound like in Spanish, but then we're used to hearing them in American English, but when they start speaking British English, we're just like, yo, you're doing, this is a character, right? This is not how you actually speak. And
exactly.
It's totally not fair, but we literally brought him into the studio to be like, yo, just talk. We want to hear
That was the pre-production meeting. I was like, hey, man, we don't really know what we're going to talk about in this episode. We just want to hear your voice as much as we possibly can.
Right. So that's what you can look forward to. There's just a lot of us poking and prodding and being like, do your tricks. But the dude is
multifaceted, bro. He's doing comedy. He's doing music. He's doing food. He's everywhere.
It's great. So I think everybody's really going to enjoy the conversation with Patrick Vell. You're just going to like him. He's a good dude. And so it was awesome to have him on the show. So we're going to talk to him in a second as soon as we meet the required amount of time to fill the episode. So we have a couple seconds left. But obviously, a big Premier League weekend, which we'll talk about more, probably a little bit more in the next episode. But we're going to focus on our guest today. Right now, we're recording this during the Liverpool Arsenal game, or Arsenal Liverpool, yes. And Arsenal is currently up 1-0. I just want to mention very quickly, you got to give a shout out to Chelsea Football Club losing 4-2,
you know,
to Wolves. Miguelito, how you feeling about your club?
Do you have to? I mean, before we jumped on, I said, is this what it's like to be an Everton fan? And at least Everton drew this weekend, so it's honestly better to be you right now, Christian.
Oh yeah, in the relegation zone when Luton Town for okay, some reason not, scores just 4 at St. James Park. Are you out of your mind? Why are they scoring 4 goals away? It's Luton Town. It's unbelievable. Mm. So, I mean, it was exciting for Everton and Everton fans, but that was difficult to watch the result at Luton because they are now above us with the game in hand.
And they're on fire too. It wasn't just the Newcastle game. I think they won the game. I forget who they played the game before, but they won that one too. I mean, I don't know what happened to Luton Town. Ross Barkley. As soon as you leave, now more proof that as soon as you
former
leave,
Everton Chelsea, players, Andres Townsend player. Also is at Luton Town. Look, I can't make sense of it. can you make any sense of what's going on with Chelsea? Why are they allowing 4 goals to Wolves at home?
At this point, it's got to be Poch, right? Like, listen, I was not a huge fan when he came in at the beginning of the season, but at this point, you just have to blame the manager. But I don't even know if that's going to help if we sack him because you can't keep bringing in new managers. No one's going to want to coach us if they know you only have 6 months regardless of what happened. So I don't know what's going to happen. I can't make any sense of it. I guess we just overpaid on a lot of those players. And, you know, they're still so young. That's the thing that, like, is kind of tantalizing. It's like, okay, if we just give it a few more years, maybe something will come out of this. But I don't know. Every week you just get more and more, you know, discouraged by the results and stuff. I mean,
Wolves' goals were like, deflect, pinball. Look at a pinball machine. And they got the right amount of luck at the right time. But just kind of concerning for the Blues. All right, let's get to our convo with Patrick because again, great dude, and I hope that we can kind of push just highlight the fact that there are British Latinos, they're out there, and there's a real community, and you know what? Sometimes they feel a little bit lonely, right? So I think the American brethren.
The American mandem.
We have to be able to bond and connect because there's a community out there, but it's not incredibly large like it is in the United States. So
I was gonna say you'll see in the episode he was like, I love London, a lot of Latinos out there, it's very underrated. But when he was in Queens, bro, you could tell that was when he was in his own element.
I love how Queens is Mecca to Latinos, bro. It's like we have to make the pilgrimage at least once in our lives. We gotta go to Jackson Heights.
Everyone's really there, bro. Everyone's
be with our
out
people,
there.
Bro.
All the homies are there, bro.
All right, so let's get to it. Here's our awesome conversation with the British Latino himself, Patrick Vell.
Oh, look at this. Another fabulous guest.
Look, I'm just, it's a, this is a, I'm excited about our guest because it's not just the fact that what we get to talk to him about,
right?
But it's just, I just can't wait to hear his voice.
Also,
you know?
It's like, look, I grew up without a father. I like to think that my dad went to England. I had a baby, this is what it would sound like. You
know what I mean? Wow. Yeah, Alexis has had a much more deeper fantasy than I have about this stuff.
I really built out a world around our next guest.
We need to get a Tolkien-like book series about Alexis's brain, how he thinks. But before we introduce our guest, I just want to play a quick clip because he's very popular on TikTok, and this is a genre of that I learned about on TikTok about
British Latinos.
This is I didn't know this was a talk. Wife says sometimes, like, oh, I'm a nurse talking. I'm like, I didn't know
this is what British Latinos. You know, talk. Because we see people in Congress being like, we got to ban TikTok. And I'm like, no, I need to connect with more British Latinos. And that's why TikTok is useful. So let me just play a quick clip because this man.
And then we'll introduce you. So you don't just have to sit here and stare at
us. I'm just staring at you, smiling, bro. That's how happy you make us, bro. So here goes.
Listen, I'm a British Latino in New York. Been here for almost a month. I'm trying to learn your lot's lingo, innit? So this is what I've learned so far. Yo, what am I dead? I'm not gonna hold you, but it's mad brick outside, yeah? Like this weather be rambunctious and shit. Yeah, man, I'm on my way to the gym. I'm trying to get myself right in case anybody wanna get staticky, yeah? I'm not even gonna hold you. Like, after the gym, I'm gonna get myself a bacon, egg, and cheese, so I'll catch up on the road.
Okay.
I just know that shit gonna be bussing. Hey, yo.
This is our son.
So this is this is him doing a New York accent. So clearly the man got range. But
dude got range.
We're gonna hear a lot from him. But please welcome our guest all the way. All the way from Tottenham. Please give it up.
Oh, I hit the clap at the wrong time. I hate Tottenham as a team, not a town. And not a part of town.
But please welcome Patrick Vell. What's up, brother?
Woo! What's up, everybody? Let's go. Hey, pleasure to meet everybody. My name is Patrick Vell. I'm a British Latino from London. I'm Ecuadorian, and I'm in New York right now.
Heard that? I'm Ecuadorian. I've never heard Ecuadorian said in an English accent.
Yeah, bro.
So there's a little bit, even before we started, recording, I said to you, like, bro, I don't want to make you feel like an animal that I'm just poking.
It's
like,
a little sideshow.
Do the trick.
Open the cage and we're like, dance, bear. Wow. It's kind of how it feels, but that's not what we want this to be.
We don't want this to be that. There is a genuine, I think, fascination because we're not used to, hearing the English accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
remix so quick.
And then go to, está en la casa, hablamos español. Así, like, yeah. We don't hear that.
Oye, ¿quién está en el teléfono, bruv? You know what I mean? That's never been said, you know what I mean? In our brains. But that's how you talk.
But I think for Americans and American Latinos, we know of the migration of, like, people in South America, people in the Caribbean especially. Mm-hmm. You know, we had our designated zones. Right? You know, you got the Dominicans.
Well, Cubans can't swim to England, so we went. America was right there for us.
You got to be really talented.
You got to be dedicated.
I'd be like, yo,
you really want to get out.
Does Cuba have a swim team? Because we got to put them on.
You hit a backstroke past cruise boats. You messed up.
So we know that how it worked. It was always like the Dominicans, they go to New York.
Baseball,
dog. So the Cubans went to Miami. Everybody kind of had their place where everybody settled. So when I hear like Colombians or Ecuadorians in London, I'm like, okay, well, how this work?
The wrong gate at the airport.
No. So explain that. How'd your family end up in England?
¿Y por qué? Why?
To be honest, bro, like my dad, he originally wanted to come to New York. And I think he had a conversation with one of his boys at the airport that he had so suddenly had to meet. And I think after that exchange, they switched the flights. So, like, he was going to London and my dad was going to New York. And then they were like, I don't know what the hell they were talking about. So then they must have just switched flights.
Is this real?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, this is a movie. Right? We got a movie, right?
We have the first act.
This is an amazing intro.
Also, what did your friend say that was like, no, you don't want to go to New York?
I want to go there.
Yeah. We should swap.
Okay, so are both your parents Ecuadorian?
Yeah, my mom and my dad.
Okay, okay.
Both from Ecuador?
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't meet in England? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So they met in Ecuador and then they decided to go to London.
And then they made me.
Yeah, well, okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. Right, we don't need that story.
Don't get too detailed.
We know how it works. The story shows.
So basically what happened.
My dad switched with the other guy.
Wait, whoa.
No.
Mommy.
Stop doing this, man. Your kids' lives are changing.
Okay.
Wow. We're comedians.
So yeah, no, it's all right. I'm not offended.
So when your dad gets to England or whatever, you growing up, what is the community of Latinos like?
Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. So when I was growing up in London, like during school and stuff, seriously, yeah, I was the only Latin guy in school. Like, the only one. There's probably one more guy who actually happened to be a family friend. So, you know them ones where it's a family friend, but he's your cousin? Mm-hmm. Right, but he's not your cousin, but he's your cousin.
Yeah, we're Latino.
Exactly. So, like, we're cousins, but we ain't cousins. Friends, anyways, he was there, but he was, like, really smart and, like, basically white. And me, I was just chilling with the non-white people, basically. So most of my surroundings were from individuals from, like, the Caribbean, from Africa. And I basically grew up with, like, Los Morenitos, man. So that's where I adopted a lot of the culture, specifically in Tottenham, which was basically them and Los Turcos. Like, bare Turkish people. Bare, they're everywhere, bro.
I was going to say, what do people mostly think you are? Because I look like a lot of different things. So right. When I walk into bodegas, unless it's like a Latino bodega, if it's like Yemeni, I get Habibi a lot. They don't say, oh, yeah. They don't say, oh, yeah. The most Latino Yemeni ever, bro. He's like, oh, yeah, Habibi, get the water, drink. I'm like, oh,
what the fuck? sorry, man.
Are you wearing a Guayabera, bro? What do you get the most? Do you get Turkish? You probably get Algerian.
Naji, I get Mexican.
Oh,
Mexican,
wow. Yeah. Even in the UK.
Mexican.
That's pretty impressive.
Who knew the UK was Texas?
No, for real. I get Mexican. I get Turkish sometimes. I got Filipino one time. That was cool.
I get Filipino here quite a bit. It's interesting because depending on where I am, especially if I'm in Europe, I get things I never really used to hear. Like
Dubai, they said you were from the Sudan.
Yeah. Well, I was in Dubai. Everybody was like, I was like a Sudanese like worker.
Wow. Everyone's like, another one's escaped. I'm a guest here.
Wow. I said that.
They didn't want to give me my passport at the hotel. They didn't want to give it back.
Don't you have to build a stadium in Qatar for us?
Wow.
So it's always like interesting and like charming to get like something.
Charming is a great word.
This one way of putting it.
You know, like I would get like Hawaiian, you know. It's like,
I can see that. I can see that.
I can see that one.
I'd be around like different people. It's even like if I'm in Los Angeles and I start speaking Spanish to a Mexican. They're like, okay, what's all this about?
Hold on. Okay.
Are the blacks learning how to speak? They're like, baffled.
Oh, yeah. Snoop Dogg's fucking his
name. They're like, baffled. So it is interesting, but finding that community is something that wasn't difficult for us, right? We had, I grew up around a bunch of Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Mexicans. It was just a part of life. So it wasn't, it's interesting being a British Latino, because finding that community has to be a little bit more challenging.
What is the biggest Latino community?
I would, from my personal perspective, from what I've seen.
We know you haven't done a census. All right. So don't worry about that. All right,
so basically.
Door to door, make sure.
I would say you see a lot of Colombians in London. Specifically, I'm from London. I can't speak about Manchester and Birmingham and all them other sides, but you see a lot of Colombians, and there is a very big population of people from Brazil as well. But you see some Ecuadorians, we're actually kind of deep. London is kind of like a big Roosevelt Avenue for Latinos.
Okay.
But just not as big.
Just
one section, like just 74th, that's it. Anything less than that's
Elephant and Castle?
Elephant and Castle, that's the Latino central of London, literally. Like you got one of the best clubs there, you got really good food spots there. And there's a lot of history around that part of South London when it comes to Latinos. There used to be a big festival. I believe it was in a place called Burgess Park. I don't know. If I got it wrong, I'm so sorry. In the comment section, you let these lot know. Because when all of this was happening, I was one of those chicos de casa where my family wouldn't even let me go outside. Because I was a youth, innit? Like, I'm 28 now, so I'm talking about my sister's time. She's 38, so 10 years before me. Well, anyways, basically, those spots there is a very big hub for us. Like, massive one. And now they started to migrate more to... Oh, not migrate, fuck it up. But now the Latinos started... now you start to see a lot more, like, Dominicans, bro. Like, I never saw Dominicans growing up. Now you see them in South and in North London.
Bro, now you're sitting next to one.
Oh, yeah, everyone right here. Yeah.
Bro, giving good haircut. Everyone's giving a
fade. No, they got good haircut. You guys are very talented.
Yeah. No, Dominican barber. Everything. Yo, the fade comes from Dominican barber.
Any city I travel to...
Any country, I the first thing I Google, Dominican barber. There's always one. There's always one. They know when there's a shortage of Dominicans in any particular country, they're like, I'm starting a barbershop.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be the mayor of this city at some point.
I'm the metro, this area. I remember when he was in Dubai, he got his haircut at a place called No Soy Sudanese Barber. Everyone there was a bunch of Sudanese. We're not Sudanese.
It's a chain now, bro.
It's doing well. It's doing well.
Goodness, that's fucking crazy.
No, it's a fascinating thing. Just because the Latino experience is even within the United States, it's
for
different.
Some reason we also view like being in New York or in the New York area. I grew up in Newark, just outside of New York. But it feels like this is common for Latinos, but I'm sure for your cousins in Dominican Republic, maybe the way New York Latinos speak sound different. So I'm sure that's how the big of a difference this is, although it's probably a lot more common.
Yeah, I mean, I would say New York Latinos, but then New York in general has such a strong influence on the rest of the world, right? Yeah. You're wearing a Yankee cap. Yeah. It's not a coincidence, bro.
Should I take it all?
No. Like, you better know four. Give me three pitchers for you. We get that. It's like, I remember the first time I ever saw like a football match on TV. I think it was a Manchester United versus Arsenal match. I was like, oh, wow, I got a lot of Yankee fans out there.
Wow.
Because the hat's so common. Yeah. I didn't realize it was common in England. I was just like, damn, bro.
Yeah.
Yankee fans, yo, we travel well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, given that New York influence, so even in Dominican Republic, and I'm sure in a lot of other countries as well, Latinos in those countries look to New York Latinos for like
inspiration,
yeah, also culture. And stuff like that. And one thing I want to talk about, I want to just categorize you correctly. You have rapper on your thing? So is it? But I also saw a reggaeton song, so I would also say reggaetonero también,
you,
right? So I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to
give
mislabel.
Me all the
compliments.
Right. Are you a rapper or are you a rapper?
I'm an artist.
Yeah,
that's how I'd put myself as an artist. I do a bit of everything. I dabble. Yeah.
So
I originally started making music. That was what I graduated in. I studied music composition and tech for films and games. And I studied in Georgia for 1 year as part of my uni degree. And music was always
Georgia,
my passion.
Georgia, the state or the country?
No, Georgia, like... Georgia, like, goddamn, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got it.
You could have said state. But, he puts on a cowboy hat.
My man's got to do the thundercloud. He's like, you know, Georgia, like, you.
Wow.
Soldier boy.
Wow, soldier boy.
We got it. We got it.
That answers my question.
But, yeah, like, when I was doing music, it was cool. But you know, like in the music business, it's expensive. So I thought, what the hell can I do to stay relevant, but without sacrificing being myself? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make videos about being a British Latino. And bro, like, I just did it for banter. Like, I'm not even joking. I was going to work. I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. British Latinos in the UK be like, boom. After like a month of uploading one video, bro, it just went nuts. Like the freaking internet just had a big orgasm, bro. It was crazy. Sorry, bro. I touched your head.
Okay.
Massive.
What happened to the elephant and cat?
A lot happened. Yeah,
the whole internet had a big orgasm. And maybe you too.
Maybe you.
I don't want you to miss out.
Was this when you were already in New York? Because I got clued into who you were off of your NYC.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, I'm swiping, and I've been on your, like, since the early days.
Okay.
And they interacted with me on something, and all of a sudden, I started following them back. And I'm swiping one day, and I hear your accent talking about, like, your whatever. I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, UK Latinos. And that's really how I even got clued into who you were. But you were putting up stuff from UK before that?
Yeah. So, like, I became viral in London. And majority of the people who interacted with me were from Mexican descent. And I'm talking, like, a lot of individuals from Houston and LA, to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's where everybody was coming in from. And then I think one page on Instagram must have reposted me. And then... it took me so long to get to 1,000 followers on Instagram, yeah? Like, I'm talking the longest, like, years, bro, to get to just 1,000. And then I think after that page reposted me, I think within, like, 4 hours, I touched, like, 7K. Damn. Bro, my phone. I've never seen my phone lose battery so fast in my life. So every day, bing, 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 brr, bing, brr, bing, bing, bing. It sounded like someone was beatboxing, bro. It was crazy. And since then, I was like, damn, like, you lot are ignorant as fuck. How could you possibly think we don't exist, bro? Like,
yeah.
Just because, and everyone thinks we say bottle of water every day and we have tea and crumpets right, and shit. Right. What the fuck is that? Where is, bro? Yeah. I have sopa y arroz every day. That's my vibe because I, like, my mom used to always say, afuera es Inglaterra, pero aquí es Ecuador.
Oh, that's beautiful. And,
bro, my bars, bro.
Big bars, no, bro.
And bro, I'm like, even though I'm British as hell, yeah, I'm super, super Ecuadorian. Like, so you put me in a room of Ecuadorians, my freaking accent changes. I start having different tones. I start, like, getting a little bit higher pitched because I get kind of excited. Yeah. And it's just nice because I didn't grow up with Ecuadorians, bro. So when I was, like, when I went to Queens and Roosevelt and I saw my people, I was like, oh, Ecuador. Like,
yeah.
It was so sick. Someone was making cuy. I don't know if you know what cuy is. It's a guinea pig, bro.
Okay.
We eat that shit. It's delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. Just don't look at it too
long. Right. Don't think about it too
There's
much.
There's a viral video of it on a stick.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like, don't see that one. No. Try a little piece. Have someone give you a piece before.
But, bro, for me, when I came to America, that was the first time I could actually, like, practice my Spanish and, like, low-key flex, which was cool because I feel like a no sabo kid sometimes.
Right.
Like, momentos que yo estoy hablando el español y, bro, las palabras no me llegan. Y no sé cómo decir.
It happens too.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what to, how to say.
I'll translate for all our non-Spanish speaking fans.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll be speaking in Spanish, but, like, the words don't come. And it happens to me all the time because, I mean, so my mother has been in America for a very long time.
Right.
And she still sounds, she has a heavy, heavy Cuban accent.
Oh, nice.
She speaks Spanish, but, I mean, she speaks English, but you could tell she's Spanish is her first language. And I ask her all the time, like, how is it that you've been here way longer than you were in Cuba, but the things don't connect? And she's like, because I still think in Spanish and I have to translate it. Yeah. So it happens to me from reverse. But Queens, for those who don't know, Queens is the single most diverse, I forget, it's borough is probably not the right word because that's like province.
Don't they say Queens has the most languages spoken in the world?
It's over 180, I think.
Something like that.
Only?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. That's just the train.
That's just the 7 train. Right.
But Queens is extremely diverse. And for Roosevelt and Jackson Heights and all these areas you're talking about, you walk 3 blocks, you're in another Latino country.
Yeah, yeah.
You go from Colombia, you can go to, you know, you can go to Uruguay, you can go to Argentina. For you, coming from a place like England where it's like, all right, there's a lot of white, and then there's the rest of us. You know what I mean? To go to a place like Queens where they're like, you ain't even going to see white.
No, I didn't see one white person. Not even one. Yeah. Not even a white police officer.
Yeah, no.
Legit, bro.
No, the police officer was like, get okay.
No. He's talking to me in Spanish before even knowing I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite rude.
How much of a culture shock was that for you?
Oh, bro, to be honest, yeah, I felt like a kid in a candy store. I just was like, wow, my people are here. Like, I'm hearing reggaeton, salsa. I'm even hearing, like, San Juanitos and freaking traditional music from Ecuador in the street.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So for me to see an abundance of my people thriving with so many businesses and all working together and just hearing, like, certain words that are not part of my dialect, but I understand exactly what they are because my family's used them when they're having adult conversations and fiestas and shit. Yeah. I was like, raw, like, we actually are here. And then when I went back to London, I was like, oh, this is whack, bruv. And I got to chat to fucking Gary and Dave about football and talk about beer and pretend to like it. But I don't like it. It makes me gassy.
Football.
Yeah, it happens to me too. Running. I'm not a big fan.
No, yeah. But like, I just wish London is very diverse, bro. Like, we got everything too.
No, London is a New York sister city. It's very, very diverse.
It's like a little brother, like El Malcriado. Yeah.
but we put him in their place.
Yeah.
We remind.
I just wish that British Latinos would get more recognition because, bro, like, for example, let's say we make music, people won't take us seriously. They're like, oh, this guy's got a British accent. We're not going to take him seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, bro, but we go through so much, bro. Like, I feel like we get discriminated quite a bit, like, underneath the service or whatever. And for me, like, when I just came here, just to reiterate, I was just so proud of, like, bro, all you guys came from wherever you came from in Ecuador, and you made it here, and now you got a house, and you're making your peas. And for me, it's just, okay, cool. I had hope. I was like, I can be here one day. One day, who knows?
Yeah, but it kind of, and it's an interesting aspect because it shows that kind of survival spirit
of mm-hmm. like of Latinos and
also for the culture, it thrives wherever it goes, which I think is important.
Right, right.
And because you probably had the same thing his mom said, right? Like, oh, you outside is New York, but in here, this is Santa, you know, right?
I didn't Santa. Have that. It wasn't deliberate. It was
we are in Seattle.
With it was, the belt.
Yeah, because my mother was like, oye, esto Cuba.
I just know that, you know, my house smelled different from other people's houses. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know how I knew I was different? This is a true story.
So true.
My grandmother, people are like, what does she do? I'm like, she cooks. She wakes up and she starts cooking until we eat. I don't know how else to explain. My grandmother. She would like pick out the bad beans. Like she would go through beans that would take her all day. And this is what she did. And then I realized I brought food over to a friend's house. And I think he was like half Filipino, half Irish, right? And brought food over. Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy.
Wow, that's in
New
York,
New Jersey. It's normal. Here, a lot of Italians and Irish get together. That's really popular. Oh. Irish Italians. First time I went to Ireland, they were like, we what? Like, what are they doing out there? We need to save these people. They got McDonald's, and I was like, we brought McDonald's, and I was like, you guys got rice, right? And they're like, but yeah, but we're about to eat McDonald's. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but where's the rice?
Because my grandmother, no matter what you brought pizza. She's like, aquí viene el arroz, you know? You would eat rice with pizza. Like, rice was with every meal. It didn't matter.
Right, it's part of oxygen.
And that's why I was like, I know I'm different because I was expecting rice and a Big Mac. You know what I mean?
Take it juntos.
Yeah, next to each other.
They pair
rice and beans. Oh, yeah, that's just my house.
You did mention football, and obviously this is, we should talk about it a little bit. Obviously, we talk football quite a bit on this program.
Can we get you to say soccer in England?
Soccer. Yeah.
It sounds better. Yeah.
Soccer. Well, they invented the word. Well, there,
who the fuck? Sorry, who decided it was a good idea to call it soccer?
So it England. Is England.
Really?
So
idiots.
Yeah. So, remember the show Soccer AM?
Oh yeah.
Soccer Saturday. We didn't invent that show in England.
So you lot just adopted that and ran with it.
We have to always enlighten the British, because the reason Americans call it soccer is because that's what the game was called. If you look at football scores or news clippings from before maybe 1985, soccer in England, it was called soccer. Mm-hmm. And then when NFL got popular here and we started.
No, it was actually NASL. Because the term soccer got associated with the American version of it, because we were buying all the best British players.
Right, right, right.
And they got butthurt because they had to get their money up.
So we started calling.
So they started going back to the word football.
Exactly.
Get your money up, dog.
Y'all didn't have Pelé. We had Pelé. Yeah. But that's basically all it was. The word soccer started getting very popular, but we used it to distinguish from football, which we associate with NFL. Yeah,
soccer is short for association. As you know it, is association rules football. So a soccer.
Yeah, that was a slang back in the day in England, because they used to add ER. I mean, usually in, you know, it's not in a racist way.
They do that too.
they shouldn't.
Wow.
That went so bad. They would add a hard R association.
But rugby. So rugby, they used to call it rugger. Ruggers. That was so they used to add ER to different sports. Mm-hmm. And whatever. So that's how soccer came about.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So I should have set that up a little differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have fun here.
They added
hard on everything.
Yeah. But yeah, so soccer is your thing. But you were going to ask about football.
Yes. And you mentioned, obviously, growing up in Tottenham. So I'm curious, from as a British Latino, the connection to the world of football. Because in London, obviously, it is the religion.
Yes,
and everybody has their faction, their club that they support. What was your experience around the game like?
So, bro, when I was in school, I was a fat boy. No offense, but I was a big boy.
None taken.
No. I was a chubby kid, bro.
Alexis is not in school.
Yeah. No. If I send you shout out to all my big people out there, but I'll send you a picture if you want, and you can show it of how I was big, bro. Yeah. I was unhealthily big. It was deep. Anyways.
Again, no offense there.
So, anyways, I liked playing football, but everyone tried to always put me in goal.
Right.
And I was like, why? I want to. You don't want me to lose weight, so let me play defense.
Stop enabling.
Exactly. So, anyways, we have this thing called PE, which is physical education or whatever you want to call it. And whenever it was football day, that was everyone's dispute would be settled on the pitch, and it was a beautiful moment. And, you know, football's one of those sports where no matter how long you play for, you just don't get tired. And it's just the best cardio ever alongside other types of cardio.
I want you to continue, but this thing that you're just pointing out, this like, you know, football is a game you can play and just never get tired. This is a very English thing because you have the perfect weather for football. Mm. It's always a nice, like, damp, chilly playing.
Nice.
Yeah. No, but for the sport, for playing the game. Yeah. Because playing in America,
when it's 90 degrees, or 80 degrees, even if it's like
75 degrees Fahrenheit, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, wow, how do you do that?
We're dying slowly.
Why are you playing in an inferno? Yeah.
Stop using electricity. We're like New York.
Do that flamethrowers on the pitch. Is that what it is? But playing in weather that is like, I don't even know.
A little cool, a little brisk.
It's absolutely perfect because you don't get tired. You can play for so long. But in the U.S., we have to find You start tired. You got to find the right windows to like where the sun is not, where you need some shade. It's a much more conscious sort of effort and decision to play.
But like here we have to wear sunblock. Now, do you know what that is?
That's a sunscreen, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's start. Do you know what the sun is? Does that ever come out in
English? So basically,
it's
the bright thing. Yeah.
It's like a light bulb in the sky, dog.
Oh, you mean the hot moon?
That's also my nickname in high school.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Okay, so you play in PE and so you played a bit growing up.
Yeah, how did football. You not end up a Tottenham Hotspur fan if you live in Tottenham?
Because I originally supported Chelsea because of my dad. So I was a big fan of Chelsea, bro. It was the times when it was Didier Drogba, John Terry, Petr Cech, SCN, Lampard, Joe Cole. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just flexing super like that. I actually knew
Abramovich era.
Where the kit was decent and the kits were actually nice. Now there's just too much going on. It looks like a map.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean. In my personal,
you're talking about Samsung.
Well, no, it's just like. There's just a lot going on.
Back
then it was just nice and plain and it was actually fashionable. Actually, some of them are the Arsenal t-shirt is quite fashionable.
The pink one.
I don't know if they always have fire.
Yeah,
you guys had nice ones. But everybody that supported Arsenal, no offense, was a dickhead. Yeah. So for me, I don't want to associate myself with these guys because you guys like low-key always want to bully me. So I'm going to pick the people that you don't like. So I was like, red, blue, I prefer blue. So I went with Chelsea. Now, when it comes to Tottenham, it's by default, bro. Like, you don't even want to have an Arsenal shirt near Tottenham Stadium when Tottenham's playing.
No, of course not.
Because it's deep. Yeah. Those are like OG Gangs of London vibes. Like, it's proper. They take it serious. It's like a religion, bro. Like, so for me, I just think, I value my life, you know. And when they ask me, like, what team you support, I just say Ecuador. Which I do. And even then, like now we've got a few players. I think a few of our players from La Selección used to play for Brighton. So I was a Brighton fan for a year.
Can I say, though?
Just for 1 year, though.
Yeah.
And then they all moved and I was like, oh, no, you're making it so difficult.
Well, Junior Fitpo, who's Dominican, played for Leeds. And I'm like, I'm out here, Leeds United. Let's go.
Let's go.
And there was a Cuban guy who ran a concession stand. That's the closest I think I'm going to get.
Wow.
Cubans in soccer? No, it's not happening.
You guys don't play like that?
No, not really. There was actually one Cuban that scored in the Premier League, a guy named Onel Hernandez. He grew up in Germany, but he played for Norwich.
He scored
the fourth goal of a 4-0 win. And he celebrated, and everyone got mad at him. I'm like, no, I get it. He's the first. He's the first. And let's be honest, only Cuban ever going to score in the Premier League, bro. Wow. Let him have his lap. You feel me?
Oh, he had a lap.
He did it big. I think he did three celebrations.
Did he do one of those?
Bro, he ran to the middle of the pitch as opposed to just celebrating by the goal. He took his time, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, he did it all, bro.
Extra cardio.
I respect it, bro. That's right, because Fidel died, bro.
Wow.
Oh my God. I think he's a fan of Fidel. But anyway, your Theos must love it. I mean, your family must love the fact that football is huge in England as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, for me, bro, I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed playing football, but I just kind of, I lost a lot of love for it during school because, you know, when you have that one coach who you look up to and you're like, please let me fucking play. Let me just play for a little bit. He would take me off and he never believed in me. So I kind of was like, I'm running with everybody. They're all taller than me, slimmer than me. Might be stronger than me.
Spit bars, bro. Yeah.
so I kind of lost a lot of interest for football. But then I remember I was a big fan of Match Attacks, and we used to have these magazines where you would get them every weekend. So in school, like, all the boys would, like, you know, all my boys would come together and be like, yo, did you get the match of magazine? I forgot what it was called. And we would look, and then we would also get, like, the newspapers, because all the sports was at the back.
Yeah,
but
you
never go to page three.
Right.
Do you know why?
No.
Page three was that page. Oh, you lot don't know.
No,
really?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Basically, page three.
From the front or from the back?
No, from the front. Page three was the one where you can see, like, Los Senos de una Mujer.
Wow.
No, OD though, like.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you could see
in
it.
In the newspaper?
In the newspaper. Big man, I'm not even joking.
He's talking about boobs.
Sorry. I was trying to
use this question. Was there a reason for it? Was page three just...
No. That was just...
Yo, here's a boob break for you.
I swear down. So we would get the Sun. It's called The Sun, innit, I think, back then. So we would get... Because it was only 20p. Mm-hmm. Like 20 cents.
20 cents.
So you're like, oh, yo, we got football and we got boobs.
Yeah. All round. We only rip round.
Nah, it was cool. And then you'd have, like, the politics that no one cares about. So we would just, like, rip up the pieces of paper and, like, throw it at each other.
It's like, bro, I was going to say, Queen, show me it. But yeah. She passed away, so wow. I'm not going to do that. But again, you're not going to put the Queen on page three, right?
Nah. Who's that? Nah, but yeah, football was... is a very, very big part of British culture. I just wish that they had a big basketball culture.
Okay. That's,
bro, basketball is so fun. That was the only sport I was good at.
You're not a London Lions guy?
I don't really watch basketball. I told you, like, we don't even rate basketball like that. Like, if you see an actual net, where it can go...
Yeah.
It's like watching a unicorn, like, yeah, right, do a backflip.
Have you ever seen European shooter basketball, though? It's kind of ugly. They'll shoot from the chest like a third grader. I love, they do this a lot.
Every like 2-3 months, I'll just watch the highlight video of Romelu Lukaku and Paul Pogba playing one-on-one.
But they were flexing at how trash they are.
And it's just remarkable. It's just like they have almost barely any coordination with their hands. I think they're foot sport guys.
But Pogba thought he was doing something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like cleansing. It makes me feel good about, like, I could have been there if I really tried.
I may not be as good at football, but I could score a couple points on the basketball court.
The other thing I want to ask you before we wrap up, your name Patrick.
Yes, Patrick.
That's
my name.
Government.
Yeah, my government.
Your family was like,
how do we make him sound like he's from here?
No, so the
it's story, not Patrico? It's straight up Patrick.
Patrick, yeah. So the story behind me getting my name is, my dad, when he was in London, he basically cleaned, innit? Like, that's what a lot of families do. So, you know, cleaners and stuff. Shout out to the cleaners. My dad cleaned a house for this family, and they had a son called Patrick. And he was a very well-spoken and very good boy. And basically, in honor of him, he named me after that kid.
Oh, that's kind
of
beautiful.
Yeah.
And are you a well-spoken, honorable?
Totally.
It worked out.
I mean, I'm here with you, lovely gentlemen.
It worked out. Sometimes it's great to see. I mean, I love hearing about your story.
We didn't even get to you doing food content, stuff like that. How did this all take off, and what do you hope to sort of be doing more of in the future? Because obviously, comedian, rapper, foodie, what exactly is it that you want to do more of?
Bro, I'm not gonna lie. I would love to make videos full time. I'd love to be able to just be in a position where I can just let my creativity speak for itself. I'm a creative guy, man. I studied this stuff in uni, and for me, just having the opportunity to even be here and talk about what I've done, just because I whipped out my phone one day and it just did it was such a big blessing for me. I'd love to be able to do that more often. And food, bro, like. Food is food, isn't it? Like, when I came here, the flavors are on a different level, and it's just always nice to be able to share a nice meal with people and learn about their culture through that, you know, because that's the best way to connect, aside from football, because football is a lot of
Well, according to Top Boy, food is, I think, drugs.
Wow.
He got that food, isn't it?
I've been doing research on you guys.
Did you? Hey, cheeky guy.
So I don't know what kind of foodie he really is, Alexis.
We got to teach you how to fold a slice.
Yeah,
I can't have you eating it like this no more.
I'm sorry, bro.
If... Oh, he got a dollar slice too.
Yeah, it was $1.50.
Still $1.50. The dollar's in there, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's come on. This tasted like English pizza. No, this was bad.
It was like premium cardboard.
Yeah.
It was premium cardboard. Yeah. Like it was.
Ooh, the good cardboard.
Yeah, is that
good? That Amazon?
Is that Amazon cardboard? No, but I got a question for you lot. Because I feel like this is interesting. Who's your favorite British player, football player?
British.
That's a great question. Right now,
not just English, so British.
Yeah.
Anybody.
So you gonna pick a Scottish player?
I'm just saying, Gareth Bale could be in there.
Nah, he's dusty. Also, I've interviewed him and he's kind of a jerk. I would say right now Bukayo Saka. He's a player for Arsenal, young guy. Call him Star Boy. I think he's the future of the English national team.
Okay.
Yeah, even though he missed the penalty and everybody got a little racist.
A little.
You know what I mean?
They had the ER at the end of
words. Yeah. Wow. They said, no, it's our culture. Like soccer.
Little callback. I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, ever or now? I mean,
just ever. Like, ever?
He's an Everton fan, so.
Oh, British.
So, Paul, Rooney, maybe?
I mean, for me, like, a favorite player has to, like, represent more than just what they do on the pitch and, like, their sort of personality, character. I don't know. I mean, I would say probably the first British player I was, like, fascinated by was probably David Beckham.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a true crossover.
He transcended the sport.
It was just, like, why? Not only was he just popular, and I first, like, heard about him probably just through like magazines and all the page three, you know what I mean? and then, you know, then I started like watching all the Manchester United highlights and then following his career and stuff like that. Yeah. So Beckham is probably going to be the first name that comes to mind.
Okay. And I got one last one.
Go for it.
If you could bring any football boot back into fashion, which would it be?
Whoa. Oh, this is a tough one because I didn't grow up playing.
Can I tell you which one I
would? Go for it.
The Total 90 one. So you know the football
boot?
Yeah,
I already
know. The one that had the Circle 90 on
it?
Yeah.
That one was like the Jordan 4s of back in the day. You'd wear that with jeans, boot cuts even. You'd wear it to a rave.
That's crazy. You click-clack? You'd be click-clacking around?
Which ones? These?
Yeah, those ones right there, the classics. Those right there? Oof. Like... Bruh.
They look like cars you see only in England. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. It looks like if a cheesecake was a boot. Yeah. But those
these
right
are,
there
these
are classics.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
curl you would get on those, like it would this is when I started loving football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
these are my favorite kits from that era.
I didn't I started playing football as an adult. So I didn't grow up playing at all, but I played like FIFA, the video game. So that's how I was connected to the game. So it's interesting now because now, you know, we obviously we do this show and we work with like brands and stuff like that. So sometimes like Adidas.
Yeah. Shout out to Adidas.
They'll send us boots.
Boots.
Oh, wicked.
So then
these are like $350 boots.
Yeah.
So and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with these things?
So I play in like a co-ed Sunday league and I got like $400 boots on.
My guy walks out looking like a ringer.
And I'm like shoulder to shoulder with like a dental hygienist. And I got the best gear and stuff like that. So
especially when he started, like he's really good now. But back when you started, you had $400 boots, but this guy had no first touch.
I did not have $400 skill.
No. Oh. It looked like the Saudi League highlights, bro.
Wow,
it was bad.
So it's fascinating.
I got one last question for you before we let you go. You spent a lot of time eating through New York. Imagine the U.S. government said you have to leave right now. You're getting exported. What's the word?
Wow, deported.
Imagine the U.S. government said, "Yo, you're getting deported." In 3 hours, so you got one last place you can go eat in New York.
Any place,
anywhere. It doesn't matter the price or anything.
I mean, you're gonna be crying during the meal.
Yeah.
I think the one place that I'd go to right now, like from the top of my head, is this place in Long Island called Fat Boys Burritos.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. There.
Of all the places you've eaten in New York City, you picked the place in Long Island.
Yeah, bro. That spot is good. You know what? You need to try it, bro. You can't knock it to it. Like I could say, yeah, I'll go and eat like Ecuadorian food, but bro, I'm getting deported. Why the hell am I going to eat?
Yeah.
I want American food.
It's actually a good point. kid's spitting right now. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Fat Boys Burritos. Fat Boys Burritos in Long Island. I believe they're in Belmore. Check them out. This is just
one's going to Long Island.
Wow.
Some people might already live there though.
Yeah, but even they don't want to eat in Long Island. They come to New York.
It's a good. You might visit your rich auntie over there.
All right. What about within the confines of New York City?
Oh. Oh, now you're done putting me on the spot. All right, I would probably eat at Arepa Lady in Queens.
Oh, Arepa
Queens.
Lady is great.
Yeah, Arepa Classic. Lady in Queens. Classic. Yeah, get the right. Pineapple sauce.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
Fat Boys Burrito. Shout out to Fat Boys Burrito. We'll go to Long Island. We'll eat it. What's the order? What's the move at Fat Boys?
Bro, there's going to be a gentleman there named Adam. He's a Persian.
I thought you were going to tell me what to eat.
No.
Yo, what's the move?
Fuck Adam. Yo, what's up, Adam?
What's up, Adam? No, we're going to leave now.
Every time I go there, Adam always looks after me. I'm just like, bro, you let me know what to eat. And he puts me on.
Yeah,
he puts me on, bro. Like they have burritos.
Adam, we're coming to see you, bro.
Yeah, their burritos are on a different level.
We'll throw it on our TikTok. See if we got a lot of this British Latino love.
Amazing. Patrick Vell Music. Everybody, go follow Patrick. It's the same on Instagram, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, everywhere, bro. Yeah.
Patrick Vell Music. And I heard.
Look at this salsa album cover. Art. Yeah. Wow. What is this, bro?
It's AI.
Is it? Yeah. That sure better be AI.
It's free.
I hope you don't own that.
But no, you do a lot of hilarious content. Also, you know, like I said, un reggaetonero. I love it. I love the bilingual music. You know, I think it speaks to there is such a huge population of Latinos. English-speaking
Spanish
is a part of our life.
That's literally part of what this podcast is about.
When you were talking about, sometimes I feel like a no sabo kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how it is. We grew up in this country, in the English-speaking country, but we have two languages, and being at home is one lifestyle, and being outside is another. Mm-hmm. And those worlds are going to collide. And there's a huge group of people that this is what I'm sure you see this. You can do content in Spanish on TikTok, and then the comments are in English.
Yes.
And everybody's just replying to the thing that was in Spanish, and everybody gets it. And that's like a beautiful thing to see. And we're like the product of our families going to these countries and you know, creating these new communities. So that's why I'm just a huge fan of your work. So
thank you, bro.
Keep it up, man.
Keep exposing the world to this whole culture.
It's great to see. So everybody go follow at Patrick Vell Music on TikTok, on Instagram. And he's going to be doing big things. So it's great. An honor to have you here, man. Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Come on now.
All right, Patrick. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, my bro.